Jaguars Monday is next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, out of time on this program, but a lively edition of Jaguars Monday is upcoming. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, and Pete Prisco have it for you.
JP. Yeah, lively, huh?
Why do you think it's going to be lively, Frank? Come on.
Well, I'm smart that way, Tony. You know, hang around me long enough, you know I got the angles. I'm guessing it's going to be lively. Mm. Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
How you doing? How's everybody?
I don't even know what to say is the problem. I was thinking about it all day.
Bro, I've been here for 3 hours. I know all about it. I absolutely understand. All right, I get it.
Yeah. Here's what you say. They stunk. How about that?
Well, we have said that.
Yeah, we've said that. I mean, beyond that. I mean, because I know we're – and I understand it. Going to get the fire Gus and fire Dave and, you know, I get it.
Fire Vaselli.
Fire the play-by-play guy. That's what I would do.
Yeah. This.
First and foremost.
You won't be in line. Get in line. Okay, so there you go.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I mean. I mean, I'm just not a – I was listening to you guys earlier. I think Brady said it. I'm just not a fire a coach in the middle of the season guy. I mean, I just don't think it gains anything. And it's early. It's two games. But I understand I understand the frustation after yesterday.
I do, too.
My goodness.
Pete, I said this on the air. Look. People that say they're not going to fire the coach this week, so it's a little bit – you can talk about it, but nothing's going to happen. So after people say it's fire the coach, okay, well, they're not firing him this week. So then you think, what is the thing to do, right? I mean, how can they play better? Pete, what do they need to do differently, in your opinion?
I'll say this because I wrote about Gus at Monday Musings today. That was my lead, and I wouldn't be fair to my readers if I didn't question the fact that he hasn't done a good job. But should he have been fired in the airport in San Diego? No. But what if they lose the next two at the bye week in their own four? I mean, then it becomes a legitimate question. Then it becomes, does something need to get done? I mean, I don't think there's any – you guys would probably disagree with me, although maybe you will agree with me. I think if you go 0-4 and just say they lose to the Ravens this week and it's ugly, then they go to London and get blown out by the Colts who aren't very good or lose to the Colts. Then it's a decision that needs to be made. Then you got to reevaluate things. I'm with you guys. I don't think firing Gus would fix the thing. I mean, what are you going to do? Make Doug Marone the head coach? I don't think that fixes it either. But there are a lot of people that can sit back, and they're going to say it tonight, Tony. We're going to get a lot of it. I got a lot of it on Twitter that want him, if things don't change in the next couple of weeks, not right now, but if they don't change in the next couple of weeks.
I was getting it right now, Pete.
Well, okay, I'm asking both you guys. You're the play-by-play guy, Frank, and you're the color analyst, Tony. If they look ugly and bad like they did yesterday in the next 2 weeks, is the bye week possibly a situation where you could possibly see a change?
Yeah, that's a fair – and you know what? And I appreciate you asking it. I don't think so because – it's my opinion now, all right? Because, number one, I don't get the sense that Shad is going to do that. And I don't know what you fix. The one thing you do – see, I said this earlier – these fans who are calling for the firing, in fairness to the fans, these aren't bad, mean people that like to see people lose their job. They're not trying to be hateful.
You sure about that, Frank?
Yeah. Well, I don't know them, but my point is, the fans that say fire coach, they want to see something change. Everybody wants, nothing is a louder comment than we're changing the guy at the top. So having said that, I don't think it fixes this year. I don't think if you fire the coach, your team gets better this year. I don't think it works like that. You know what I mean? So I don't know what you accomplish by doing it midseason other than telling your fans, hey, we're going to make a change. We're showing you that we changed it. Do you agree with that, Tony? I mean, I don't know what gets better.
I'm not a – listen, I think the only time you fire a coach in the middle of the season is really for one or two reasons. One, they've done – something immoral that, you know, looks bad upon the organization or something along those lines. Well, Gus has not done that, and he's not going to. Or two, if he has completely lost the locker room and there's a division and infighting and, he's just lost the entire locker room. Then I understand why you fire him, because maybe things can get better if someone can get the locker room back in order and get him back on the right track. I don't see any of those scenarios, either one of those, happening under Gus Bradley. And so I don't see anything changing. I mean, I don't think it doesn't help. Now, let me say up here from the beginning, I am completely biased. I like Gus Bradley.
Yeah,
I like his coaching staff. I like these guys, and so, and I know what it means when we throw around, let's fire this guy. There's a lot of families and everything involved. So I just don't like going down that path unless there's a real reason and somehow the club benefits during the season. And I don't think that's the case. And I don't think they're going to lose the next two, but yeah. I didn't think they're going to lose Sunday either. So what is that? Yeah, it's not worth anything at this point.
And that point, by the way, and Pete, I'm glad you asked the question. I know you guys will talk a long time about it tonight, but I get it. The point you made is, and I appreciate your candor, Tony. I'm the same way. I like the guy. I'm not objective. I want to be totally objective. Media guys love to say how objective they are. You know that, Pete, coming from the newspaper business.
Right.
Everyone used to pound their chest about how objective they are. Well, I'm not objective in this one, okay? I like the guy very much. I call the games. I'm probably not the right guy to ask. You know, that's an honest answer, and I appreciate Tony saying the same thing. But I don't think they're going to lose the next two games either. But, boy, they got to play better, man. Boy, they got to play.
I mean, I live in that city, and I've been there. I covered that team for a long time, and right. I portray myself as being objective. I
hear you.
But I'll say this. It's hard not to root and like that guy because he's a good man.
Right.
But you got to separate good man from football coach at times. I mean, because I really like Gus. I do. I think he genuinely cares about people and his players and everything else. But at some point, you got to separate the good man and the nice guy from the football coach. And the results are – you know, the proof is in the pudding. He's 12-38. I mean, so yeah, if things go
bad, is that bad?
Next...
Is that bad, Pete? 12-38.
It's the all-time. It's the all-time worst, I think.
No,
for
it's second.
A guy that's...
It's second.
Well, still, it's close enough.
The other guy was the owner.
Tony, it's bad. I mean, there's you can't sugarcoat
I'm being,
it any
I'm
way,
being
shape,
sarcastic,
or form.
Pete. I realize I know, but... it's bad, and I'm not saying that the ultimate barometer is wins and losses. And I'm not making excuses, but would we all not agree going back 2 years ago what him and Dave inherited was not the most
yes.
favorable situation?
Yes.
I also agree that this staff in this organization from top down, from the GM to the head coach and everything, should be evaluated at the end of this year. And if it's not good enough and Shad wants to make changes at that point, I completely understand that. And would completely respect it and support it, whatever the owner wants to do. But at the end of the season,
and at that point, other than appeasing fans, I don't know that the team's going to play differently or much better. JP,
I would agree with you. Yeah. I would agree with you. I don't think I would do it. But again, once you brought him back, you almost have to play out the season.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. JP Shatterk, I'm going to turn it over to you. But before I do. Tony, just because I'm in such joy, the only thing I've had joy about that in 3 days, give me the total now, SC, FSU, Jaguars, please, one more time, total scores.
Yeah, my three teams that I care about. There's four teams I care about.
Wow.
The Episcopal Eagles, fly, Eagle, fly, Frank. You know, it's a powerhouse over there.
I've
taken them
out.
They've won. But the three that I don't coach or have no direct impact on, the Florida State Seminoles, my son plays, the USC Trojans, where I played, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, where I played and now work, got beat this weekend 138-44.
Made my weekend. The show is Jaguars Monday, and it starts right now.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, GEICO, and by EverBank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we go from the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer down in Fort Lauderdale. Live on 1010XL tonight. Also, Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app over video streaming. Glad
we're streaming live. You can see how beautiful we are.
Oh, we're beautiful. All right. The Jaguars were not beautiful yesterday. 38-14, the final. No defense, no offense, no chance for the first drive forward. We'll talk, as we did in the crosstalk there, a bit about what the fans are talking about today. They're calling for heads already. I'm sure we'll get into that. Blake Bortles struggled yesterday. That's being nice. The defense couldn't do much on the other side, stopping the run, and then Rivers picked him apart. Injury report, we'll get an update on Kelvin Beach tonight, and we'll take your calls in the second hour this evening. So, yeah, Let's start with this.
It was a complete dumpster fire. Let's just say that.
I've been here. This is my fifth season here.
Start there and go.
And we've seen worse games because there have been worse Jaguar teams that were expected to get blown out.
We've never seen worse games.
But the expectations leading to this game and where this team is supposed to be compared to what was on the field yesterday, it's by far the worst, at least in that time. Has to be, right? And one of the worst we've seen in a long time beyond that, I'm sure. Tony, you've been in longer than I have.
It was putrid, okay, with a capital P. No life, nothing. It was just awful. They did get sacks, though.
Cheap ones.
They got cheap. Two.
Cheap. Let's the cheap ones.
I know, but they got them.
The Onyx was big, but didn't mean anything.
You know, Tony, you half expected them to show up. They didn't show up. It's like they didn't get off the bus or didn't get off the plane. To me, it was inexcusable. And you know me, I said all week, last week, it was a bad setup. You play the Packers, you put a lot into it, they're going to go out west and get whacked. Then I thought about it. I go, you know what? I watched the tape from the Packers game. I said, they did a lot of good things. At San Diego, I watched them. They weren't very good. I figured, okay, they're going to go out there, find a way to win the game. And then the first quarter happened, and it was a disaster.
It was after the first two series, I was like, uh-oh, because they showed no – real fight on the first drive, and they marched down almost all primarily on the ground.
Yeah, six of the eight plays on the ground.
Just shoved it right down their throats. And then we start our first offensive series with a false start and then a negative play, and now we're sitting there at second and 17 and three and out punt. And at that point, I'm like, golly, this could get, you know. And it got out of control. And it was poor performances all around from guys. And here's the thing that is frustrating and it's hard. Because all these young guys we've been talking about, and they're still young, you know, relatively. But these are guys that you're counting on now. And there's no more excuses. It's like, you're the quarterback. You got to make plays. You got to make good decisions. You got to make good throws. You got to be on time. Allen Robinson. You're number one receiver. You can't let Verrett take you out of the game. You know, offensive line, hey, we got to move it more than an inch. Hey, Julius Thomas, let's go. Let's make something happen. You know, Malik Jackson. I mean, go down. These are guys we're counting on. It was no different than when we played and we had a bad game. Hey, Tony Boselli, let's go. Block the defensive end. Hey, Fred, do something. Hey, Mark, how about throwing to the right guy? You know, so it's no different. And so if you don't want to be called out like that and you don't want to be that guy, then be a, you know, just kind of, you don't, then you're not going to be a star. You're not going to be, you know, an elite player. But if you want to be an elite team and an elite player, then you have to show up on Sundays and play elite and compete at an elite level, even when you don't have your best. We all go into Sundays where we don't have our best, but you fight through it and you figure it out and you compete. And
I have my best every Sunday.
You don't do anything, Pete. You sit there and watch TV.
I do a lot of work on Sunday. It's a long day. It's a long day.
But, Pete, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, okay, but who's that on? Is it on the player?
I am of the ilk that it always starts with the players.
I'm a self-starter.
I think this is a players' league. I think coaches are important. Coaching is important. And, boy, Bill Belichick is showing their merit up in New England, what they're doing with the – complete mess on their hands and figuring out a way to win ball games. And Thursday night, I'm doing that game, will be really interesting with the third quarterback in Jacoby Brissett.
Yep.
What they're able to do. So coaching matters. Good coaching helps players get in the right position to succeed and gets the most out of players. But I always start with the player. It's a players' league.
What about you, Pete? Where do you fall on that?
It's a quarterback's league, but then it's the players around them. Look, Bill Belichick wouldn't be Bill Belichick if he didn't have Tom Brady. I know he's done some good things without him for a couple games, and they won 11 games with Matt Castle. They didn't go to postseason. You can coach your way around it in spurts. Over the long haul, you can't coach your way around not having a great quarterback, A, and not having great players. You just can't. I don't care who you are. I mean, the greatest coach in the world wouldn't be able to succeed over the course of his couple seasons or a season without having a quarterback. It just doesn't work that way. Look at how many quarterbacks have won the Super Bowls. Look who they are. They're the great ones. That's who wins Super Bowls. You have the aberration seasons, but those aberration seasons are when you have the great defenses. So you either have to have one or the other. Right now in Jacksonville, they don't have either.
So, now, is there coaching issues that need to, I mean, did they have their best game? Did they have their best game coaching? No. And Gus said so. I don't understand any scheme where we're gonna put Paul Posluszny on Travis Benjamin in man coverage and ask him to carry the fastest guy on the team from the slot. As soon as Phillip Rivers saw that, with single high safety, rotated over to the trip side, Travis Benjamin ran to the opposite pylon as fast as he could, and Phillip Rivers knew immediately that Paul Posluszny was on an island and had no chance. That is coaching. On the crossing route.
So is Tony. Wait a second. So is on the offensive side of the football. So is dumping it to the back 550,000 times just because Kansas City had success with Spencer Ware doing the same thing last week.
Yeah, what, 8 catches for 10 yards for Yeldon? Is that right?
But part of that is, Pete, if you watch all 22, maybe someone should win down the field. And when they do win, let's throw the ball on time where they can catch it.
Yeah, I agree. They didn't win a lot downfield. I didn't see the 22 yet, but they didn't look like they won.
No. So I'm not going to put that. See, that's play. I mean, no, if that was the game plan, if that Greg Olsen told, then that's on Greg. But watching the tape, I didn't see a lot of winning. And I had the conversation with a coach before the game. Football is the ultimate team game, and I think I said this last year. But ultimately, it comes down to one-on-one matchups and you beating your guy. It's winning. It's winning in your matchup. It's creating space as a receiver. It's winning at the point of attack if you're an offensive lineman. It's winning on the pass rush if you're a defensive lineman. It's covering if you're a whatever it is. As a quarterback, it's making the right read and throwing the ball where it's supposed to be on time. You have to win. Scheme is important, good coaching, and I think there were some issues, some questionable things. But I always start with the players.
Can somebody answer this for me?
Yes.
Why does Miles Jack not play?
I'm sure we'll get to that.
If you're going to have a scheme where a linebacker walks out on Travis Benjamin, you damn well bet it would be better if you had Miles Jack doing it.
Okay. I don't disagree. But you got to know where to line up. You got to understand the defense. And, Pete, you covered a lot of Pac-12. Is Miles Jack look thicker than he did in college?
Yes.
I'm sure we'll break that down a little bit more
so
tonight.
So what you're saying is he's overweight.
I'm just didn't say maybe he's supposed to be that weight. I don't know what he's supposed to weigh. I'm not Tom Mysliinski, the strength coach or the head coach that dictates what
Well, you're
weight
hinting
is.
At it.
I'm just saying he looks thicker. Doesn't look like the Miles Jack body type wise that I watched at UCLA. That's all I'm saying.
But early in camp, everybody was raving about how thick he is in the lower body and how that's a good thing.
I'm just telling you, Pete.
You're hinting around that somebody told you that he's overweight.
No one told me anything. If they told me that he was overweight, then I'd say he's overweight, and I'd know what he's supposed to weigh and what he does weigh.
What is your point about that?
My point is, I've heard rumblings.
There you go.
No, not about the weight. About, the MAs and missed assignments and understanding the defense. I've heard those rumblings. My looking at him about body type is from observations of watching him at UCLA as a Pac-12 guy. And now seeing him here, he just looks thicker to me and looks heavier to me. Maybe that's what they want. And I'm not saying that's not why he's on the field. I think it's the mental aspect of understanding where you're supposed to be and when you're supposed to be there.
Okay, and we used the excuse for a while that it was him not being able to get here from the graduation.
That's over. That's over.
But he's been here long enough.
You're not picking up the mental
part of it should be behind him by now.
Agreed.
We'll come back in a moment and dissect Blake Bortles' day a little bit further. We'll talk defense a little later tonight. Your calls in the second hour, but the quest to catch them all continues. Be a part of the next Pokemon Safari here at EverBank. Sunday, September 25th.
Are you a Pokemon guy?
No, I bet you are.
No, I've never done it. My kids did it.
Pete probably is.
Never.
Pete looks like a Pokemon.
A little bit.
A Pokemon.
Kind of fat. Kind of rolly and bald. Well, you just roll.
Fat? You're kind of, what are you talking
you're
about?
Round. Not fat. You're not fat. You're thick. You're roll. You're kind of round and bald. Kind of like Pokemon like.
Maybe you could
call
catch
me poke.
Frisco.
Call me Pokemon. I'm going to poke in the eye with a stick. How's that?
All right.
Jags Ravens game day. That's the Pokemon Safari. Register at jaguars.com/Pokemon. We're just underway. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I think we kind of took ourselves out of rhythm by doing stupid stuff. Obviously, the turnovers and then the penalties. You know, we talked about during the week trying to win on third down by staying ahead and winning on first and second down, and we weren't able to do that. I mean, we jumped off sides on the first play of the game, and it was, you know, going downhill from there. Three turnovers in the first half, you know, all completely my fault. It's hard to win.
There's your quarterback, Blake Bortles, after the game yesterday in San Diego. Jaguars Monday continues. By the way, Jaguars All Access TV tonight at 7 on Channel 4. AJ Cann is the guest this evening. For those of you on Jaguars.com watching our stream, they'll go to that.
I wonder if Jeff can find any good plays to show.
Not many.
There's not many to choose from, Pete.
Not many.
Tony, of all the plays that you watched, okay, both sides of the ball, what percentage were good?
So let's say special teams, everything, let's say they're 145 plays. Sound about right? Yeah.
That sounds too many.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're
special
right.
Teams,
both
everything.
Sides of the ball. Yeah, okay.
20? Everyone did everything right? 20%.
So that's more than 20 plays. Then. So
28. 29. I don't
that's
know.
Not very good.
No. Not
did
good.
Anybody one player
who played well
play well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Talvin Smith.
Who? That's it.
Brandon Linder.
Two.
Well, that AJ played all right.
I think AJ's pretty good.
I do too.
I didn't think Linder. I went back and watched the 22 last week. I didn't think Linder played that well in the first week. I thought he was just okay.
He was better this week. He's a really good player.
Yeah, he's going to be a really good player. But I don't know. It just. And I haven't rewatched the game on 22 like you did, but it just watching the TV game, it didn't look like there was any rhythm at all.
And in fairness, when I give a number, I mean, I'm human, so I was in a really bad mood when I watched it the second time.
Shocking.
And so I probably was not giving the benefit of the doubt to anybody.
Shocking.
As I watched it. So, I mean, much like, yeah, I mean – frankly, I'm a miserable person, I've come to realize. Certain aspects of me.
I mean, you just now realize.
My wife thinks I'm lovely. My kids like me, except for when I'm coaching them. Yeah.
So you're an angry person.
Angry,
you are.
Yes.
Very angry.
Am I angry? Am I an angry guy? People
you're,
think I'm
you're,
angry.
You're a...
curmudgeon.
Smartass.
Yeah, I'll take that. That's a compliment.
That's what you are.
Yeah.
I have a low tolerance for
bad football.
It's bad.
I saw you getting into it with people today on Twitter.
Yeah.
Were you really? I missed that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I there's just certain people that.
What happened?
Well, there's certain people that like to play the I told you so game. I said this a year ago. I told you. And I finally just had enough and made the mistake of entering into the fray.
Should we review?
You can pretty much figure out who it is.
And I basically said, maybe the Jags should call you.
It was Alfie.
Maybe the Jags should call. I said, maybe the Jags should call you before they make any moves. I go, you have all the answers. So I just got tired of it.
Well, you got to remember, Alfie is a fan. He's a passionate fan.
I thought he was a media guy. He has media credentials.
No, he doesn't.
He's a fan.
Oh, he doesn't?
No.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, he's a fan.
And so, yeah, so he's going to have an emotional tie to the team. That's natural. You can't let him get under your skin. He said something today when I wrote about the Gus and my thing, and he said, national media is catching on. And I said, I don't give a crap about who – it doesn't matter to me. I personally think that the job that Gus has done right now on the surface is not good enough. But he deserves to get the rest of the season to find out if he can turn it around. But if that goes bad the next 2 weeks, Tony, that could be a change of heart for Shad Khan. And I'm not saying lose heartbreakers or whatever, but if it's 35-0 at home and 33-0 on the road
London. I mean, that's not going to happen.
Then you got – no, I don't think it's going to happen either, but –
Well, I'm not going to play the game of what if this or this. So,
well, it's a thin. It's so a, it, let's so, put it okay. this way: the ice is thin.
Okay, if they go 14-0, does he get a 10-year extension?
Maybe.
No, he doesn't, Pete. You know that.
So, what if he goes 14-2 the rest of the season? He probably gets a 5-year extension.
You know the selfish part of me is it's very selfish. What I'm about to say. I want that just for myself, so I can start going back at all the "I told you so" guys. Very, very shallow and petty.
What are you, the "I told you so" guy? Why are you?
No, I don't like it. I would become the very thing I don't like is the "I told you so" guy. I don't like those guys. I told you so.
Everybody's an "I told you so"
not me.
Guy.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No.
You're here every Monday. You say, "I told you that, Pete. I told you that, Pete."
No, No, I'm not.
Yes,
Pete.
You are, Tony.
Pete, I'm not. Listen, we need to stop bickering so much, too. That was some feedback on Twitter that someone didn't like us bickering. And I said, well, you probably might want to listen to a different show then, because I don't think that's ever going to change.
Yeah, because you're always wrong.
You sound like my wife.
Pete's an "I told you so" guy.
Oh,
all day
the
long.
Ultimate "I told you so." He forgets about all the times he was wrong.
Oh, no. I'll admit when I'm wrong, too. Like, the tweet that lives on in infamy about me saying that Christian Ponder would be better than Cam Newton.
Yeah, that was a bad call by you.
really bad call. But I admit it. I mean, you know what? I can admit it, but when somebody tweets it out 40,000 times a couple years after the fact, it's like, okay, enough's enough. Okay?
What were you thinking when you typed that tweet?
I thought Christian Ponder would be good. I'll be honest about it. I missed. That's a swing and a miss, big time.
You got a swing, though. Miss. Yeah, you got a swing.
Hey, the Vikings missed. They picked them.
True.
I didn't pick them.
Good point.
Speaking of quarterbacks.
Yeah, let's go back to
Blake
we're
Bortles.
We're talking nonsensical right now.
Three first-half turnovers, a couple of bad interceptions, the fumble, accuracy not great.
What were his numbers at the end?
At the end of the day, they're very deceiving.
The same, though. I want to make a point off of
31
this.
Of 50 passing, 329 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. The rating was 77.8.
So the problem with this world today is fantasy football, because somebody owned Blake Bortles in fantasy football and got a lot of points. And we gauge things by that now. And at the end of the day, what you are gauged by is ultimately is wins and losses and leading your team to victory. And that was a poor performance by Blake Bortles. Can't turn it over three times in the first half. I don't think he was sharp. I'm always careful to question decision making because I'm not in the game plan room and I don't know the exact concepts and the progression he's supposed to go through. But from the high level of what it didn't seem sharp. How about that? And you have to, if you're the quarterback, you're the franchise guy, that can't happen. It just can't happen.
You know what else, too? When they fall behind, Blake gives me the persona that he thinks he has to get it all back on one play. Instead of, taking his time, getting a drive, cutting the lead to 14-7, go from there. It's almost like they think they have to go get a big giant chunk or force the ball or whatever rather than be patient and understand. Because you've been around the league a long time, Tony. Good teams fall behind sometimes 14-0. But good teams find a way to regroup and come back, and the quarterback is kind of usually the guy that leads that. With him, it looks like it's, okay, I got to get this. I got to go get it. I got to get this back. And he presses, and it becomes worse. You agree?
I do. But I think it's also the fact that I always felt like in a game that you're on the wrong side early, somebody has to make a play. Something has to happen. 96 Buffalo. We're down 13-0, and we are getting boat raced in the playoffs. But you remember that. We couldn't move it, and we couldn't stop them. And they run a shuffle play down on about the 15-yard line that Clyde Simmons intercepts and goes and scores. And from a game that we were getting dominated in, they never stopped us again. I mean, it was over. It was over. And I can go through my career of games when you're on the wrong side. You need some.
Well, the next week in Denver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same thing.
You were losing. Was it 13-0?
12-0.
They were skating around. You weren't doing anything, and then you get a penalty to keep a drive alive.
And it's over.
And they didn't stop you again.
And so sometimes you just need somebody or something to happen to get something going. And I actually thought it was going to be when Yannick forced that fumble, and it's 14-0. I thought that was going to be the spark. But nobody on offense ever stepped up and did anything. And I'll tell you, I don't think Blake played well. I don't think A-Rob had a good game. If you're a number one receiver, you can't be taken out unless they're going to double you. But you can't let someone play press coverage on you. And I wish Blake – and what I'd love to ask Ole and Blake is when they're in the single high and they're going press, isn't A-Rob the best jump ball guy around? I mean, isn't that what he's made his money doing?
That's what we talked about all offseason.
I would have loved to have seen three or four opportunities just throw it up. Then let him go make a play, but he was taken out. And from the booth, and I want to, and I always hated this as a player, so I'm doing the very thing I hated as a player. But I'm going to do it. The body language yesterday on that field bothered. It just not. I will not question their effort. I will not question that they did not want to win. That they wanted to win or not. I don't think that's the case. Those guys wanted to win. But I thought when it went sideways, I thought the body language was just not what I've seen in the past. When they got down 7-0 early in Green Bay, I looked at that sideline and the energy never changed. And I didn't think that it was going to get out of control. But something about the body language to me yesterday was just like, ugh. It just didn't see the energy.
Well, who's that on, Tony?
The players. You don't think, Pete?
It's on the players. To be self-motivated, yes. It's also somewhat on the staff.
It's always on the – yes, you're right. It's never just one. Yeah. It's not one or the other.
No.
I agree with that.
But why didn't they run – when they had all that press coverage, though, why didn't they start changing things up and doing things a little differently? I mean, that – I haven't watched the 22, but more picks and rubs and bunch and stuff like that.
I mean, they did some bunch. And they did some crossings with and they got Julius wide open on some crossing stuff, and he had some nice throws. So they did some of it. Just they never got in a rhythm, Pete. Not once were they in a rhythm.
We'll come back and go on the defensive side of the ball. How did they not stop the run yesterday for a defense, well, built to stop the run?
Oof.
The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. Your call's coming up in the second hour. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
All the intention is we just got to get right. You know, you're not defined by one game. You know, I think if this brings us to the right places, you know, that's my concern right now, is to make sure this game, this experience that we have, you know, elevates our play and takes us to the right place. And, you know, that's purely all the conversation we're having with our team right now.
Head coach Gus Bradley on his Monday conference call with media. Jaguars Monday continues. He was asked about, is this a crossroads for you in terms of job security? J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. What's up? You're waving your hand at me, Tony.
Yeah,
what?
I got something to say. So one thing we're going to do this year, if I get a good tweet, good tweet question,
yeah,
I will ask it on the air.
Okay, great.
All right.
That sounds productive. I like
Joe,
that.
Joe, why don't you sell a sponsorship for that? A little extra.
Yeah, Joe.
A little extra cash for you. You like that idea?
Okay.
Question.
What do you got?
This is from Dilla at @E_Dilla. Who should be fired first? Gus Bradley or Tony Boselli? I like to make that the poll question of the day. How do you poll on the Twitter? I want to.
I don't know, but you can do it. I don't think it's that hard. Right, we can get the social guy to help
figure
you
that out. Yeah.
So we should go with Tony Boselli always.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I agree. I pretty much agree.
So you're saying me,
Tony Boselli? Yeah.
Okay. Just curious.
Unanimous. Love it.
Mr. Yunez.
You can fire him, but you can't get rid of him. He's always on the wall.
It's true. So E. Dilla, I guess it's me. I'll see you later. So that was interesting.
Well, and you want that sponsored?
Yeah, it's sponsored.
Okay. Question. I'll get right on that.
Why is everybody out for you all of a sudden?
I don't know. They want to fire me because they think.
Because you're a defender.
I'm a defender.
Because I defend everything that.
I defend the team.
You do?
I defend the organization.
Teal colored glasses.
Or, yeah, I think I'm actually pretty objective. No, I do. No, Pete?
Sometimes. Sometimes you get irrational.
Like how,
like
Pete?
Crazy? Like crazy?
There are times where he defends too much, but he'll take people on. He'll take the players on. He's got a soft spot for the offensive lineman. I don't think there's any question about that.
Okay, that's fair.
And you'll defend him a little more than you would any other position.
Fair.
And you know, you like Gus Bradley. A lot of people like Gus Bradley, so you'll defend him more than you would if it was a guy who was an ogre. That's human nature. I mean, there have been coaches over the years, you know, not Tom Coughlin, but there have been coaches over the years that you didn't want to defend or because you didn't like them.
They weren't good guys.
You like Gus. Gus is a likable guy. But that, again, at times you got to separate the football from the man.
I'm just saying,
Gus is a Hall of Famer as a man. He's a Hall of Famer as a man. I don't think you'd be hard pressed to find anybody. I mean,
I think I'm a little better man than he is. But
I'm saying you'd be hard pressed to find anybody who wouldn't think he was a really good man. I mean, I'll give you an example. When I was going through my stuff, Tony.
Yeah.
In August, he was. You know, he asked me about it. He was very caring about it. Yep. And I know he's the same way with a lot of other people. That's who he is as a man. So, I'm a Hall of Fame man, but you got to separate him as a coach. And if let's put it this way, Tony, if Gus wasn't the guy he was with the same results, 12-38, there'd be a lot less
blood in the streets. No, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I tell players all the time dealing with the media, treat the media like human beings, be respectful, help them out when you can, because when it's not going well, they won't kill you as bad. Is that not true, Pete? It's harder to kill a guy if you like him.
Right.
Not that you won't be honest, but you'll tell the story in a way that you'll try to protect them as much as possible while still having journalistic integrity. Where if he's a bad guy, you're ready to just
bury him.
Bury him.
And, Tony, you forgot to give him the one lesson, the young guys the other lesson, too.
What's
about
that?
Becoming the beat reporter's deep throat like you used to be.
That's still you can say that every week of every year
and
that we have this show.
He does.
And it's still not going to make it true. It's amazing.
You never told me anything at all the whole time that I covered that beat. You never told me anything?
I never told you anything that was off the record. I would tell you what I thought.
Tony.
I don't recall.
No.
I don't.
Oh, I don't recall.
Great line.
I don't recall.
No, I'd never tell you stuff that happened in the team meeting ever because I know who did that for you.
Who did it for me?
I'm not going to say on the
air. What is the definition of off the record?
No.
That's the next question.
But Pete, in all seriousness, did I not – I mean, you and I tried to have a good relationship with all the media. Now, would I get
– You did.
Would I get hot-headed and stuff, but I'd always talk to them. I'd always sit there and because I knew they had a job. And guess what?
Yes.
Because I think when you do that, and Gus is – because when you do that, you give yourself the best chance. When it goes bad, the reporter slushed through his job. It's like the Barry Bonds syndrome. If you're a bad guy, ask Barry Bonds how that works out. They want to bury him.
But in fairness, when it gets to a point, that all goes out the window too.
It does. I don't disagree. The
stuff I just outlined for you, if it's – you know – you don't want it to happen to Gus, but if it happened in week four, it would be a situation where all that stuff goes out the window, and they might.
It would be a story, Pete. You're right.
Right.
We'll come back in a moment. Injury report. We still got to talk defense.
Come on,
yeah,
JP.
We'll get to it. Hey, it's a short segment. What do you want? The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express. Take it to the bank this Sunday when the Jags lock down the bank and welcome the Baltimore Ravens. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
We've got to take a look at these things. You know, if there is some things that under our control, like the penalties or busts that are taking place, you know, why are these taking place? And that's the conversation we've had with the players. And now it must be applied. And we must do it in practice, and it's got to carry over. And, you know, the accountability is strong within this team as far as, you know, we all hold each other accountable. And but we got to show these things on the game field.
Head coach Gus Bradley on his conference call earlier today. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco from Fort Lauderdale. Injury report coming up. We'll get to the defensive talk as well. Your calls in the second hour. We're about 10 minutes away or so from phone calls tonight. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. I know Tony's excited to speak to the masses tonight.
Always.
One-on-one.
Always.
Pete always is, too.
Yeah, let's do the injury report.
Yeah.
Do we have time? Are we doing PFF grades, too?
Ooh, Pete.
We'll do those, too, yeah.
Yeah, I bet there's not many good ones.
Good defense. We've really butchered this thing today.
No, we'll get to all that stuff. We're going to take calls, but we got other stuff.
All right, go ahead. Come on.
A whole hour.
Do your injury report.
Injury report. Kelvin Beachum. Scary situation yesterday. Diagnosed with a concussion, though. Taken to the hospital as a precautionary measure. Released today. He'll remain in the NFL concussion protocol. That's great news.
Doubt for Kelvin Beachum. He'll play this week.
Yeah, that would be surprising. Jared Odrick. Left triceps injury. Was able to finish the game. They're continuing to evaluate. I don't know if that was when he slammed his helmet on the sideline or before that.
Looks like his tricep felt all right then.
Yeah, right. Jonathan Cyprian strained his right triceps in the fourth quarter. He was able to finish, reevaluated later. Amukamara continuing rehab where his right hamstring strained. That was a big loss to this Jags defense.
Had nothing to do with the loss.
Still, but you still want your best guy out.
Absolutely, because there was a busted nickel.
There you go. Chris Ivory continues his conditioning workload. That would be nice to have him in the backfield. Roy Miller played through a left hand injury yesterday. Denard Robinson evaluated for a concussion, but he was cleared during the game. He took a heck of a lick towards the end there. So there's your injury report. If Beachum's not available, what do they do?
Great. That is an outstanding question. I'll tell you what. When they had Jokel out there at left tackle and Chris Reed at left guard in the preseason, I know it was just preseason. They did a pretty good job. I think they're probably more comfortable with Amame at guard or tackle just because of the experience that he has. But I don't really know what they're going to do. If they're playing Baltimore and Terrell Suggs is out there, and Terrell yep. Suggs is not even close to what Terrell Suggs used to be. I mean, how many Achilles tendons is he torn now?
Yeah, he's not the same guy.
No, and so do you keep Luke where he is at guard so you continue to get the reps and put Amame out there at left tackle, knowing that you should – I mean, it would be a tough game, but you should be okay. You're at home. He had a couple rough ones in really tough duty against San Diego because it's all pass. I don't know the answer to that. I really don't know. That's a tough one. I'd have to think. I actually would have to spend some time thinking about that. It comes down to how comfortable you are with Amame at left tackle.
Well, I mean, how did you think he played when he went in yesterday?
Some fine, and he had about three or four that were rough, but he was silent count. He got laid off the ball, and they were pinning their ears back, Pete. Blood in the water. Sharks at the defensive line. Here we go. Let's meet back at Blake Bortles. It's the toughest situation for an offensive lineman when you're down big and they know you have to throw.
It'll be interesting to see what they do.
I would probably put Luke Jokel at left tackle. That's what I would do, as I just think through it. I put either Chris Reed or Amame at left guard.
Wow.
That was me. What would you do, Pete?
I'd probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
Play Jokel at tackle.
We'll find out.
I don't think I have the grades, by the way. I think they changed the form. I got to figure out a way.
They're actually waiting until they can watch the tape. That'd be a good idea.
No, no, they're in there, but they're not. They changed the way they do this. It's weird. They don't do it by game anymore. It's like an overall grade.
They might actually be spot on for this week for you, Tony.
Well,
Brandon Linder's right now the third ranked center in the league right now.
For the season, nice.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. He's good.
Guess what, guys?
What do you think about the guards?
I thought AJ played good.
AJ's 16th in the league, so he must have had a really good game.
Yeah.
And Luke is 43rd.
Middle of the pack.
He didn't play well yesterday?
Average. Okay. Not bad, but okay.
Is the right tackle struggling?
Well, you remember he had a groin injury during the week.
He was not moving as well as he did week one. He didn't play as well, but he was okay. He wasn't a liability out there.
Well, there had to be.
He had a couple holding plans. Yeah, so he just okay. They didn't work in concert to very well together.
Tony, here's one I wanted to ask you. We were going to talk about defense, but Malik Jackson. I thought the first game he was pretty good when I went back and watched the 22. How was he yesterday?
I don't think anyone, and we can move to defense right now with that question. I don't think the defense played very well at all. I don't think they got a lot of pressure. I don't think they stopped the run.
No, the
run
game.
I don't think they won. I don't think there was energy. I don't think they were flying around like they have in the past. I just don't think they played very well.
This is a Jaguars defense that gave up 150 yards on the ground yesterday. I mean, it's a group built to stop the run.
You heard what I just said.
I know. I'm with you. I'm just giving you the statistical
backup.
You're
listening to what I said, right?
I'm sitting right here watching your mouth move. Yes, I can see what you're saying and listen to what you're saying, too. But statistically, yes.
I didn't know you're a lip reader.
I am.
And that's not a really good offensive line either.
No, and they made them look really good. They made them look really good.
Yeah, that to me is – that was surprising. That they handled him the way they did. Really surprising. Paz had a bad game, though.
I don't think he played very well.
Again,
I don't think Cyprian played very well.
Why on Paz? What was bad about his game?
What makes Paz great is his identification of the play and getting there in a very timely manner in the run game. And I saw him getting caught in traffic at times, and I don't know whose bust it was either him and Telvin, but if I was guessing by the film on a coverage on one of the crossing routes, I think it was Puz ran out and covered the wheel because Telvin was the closer defender. I could be wrong about that, so I don't want to put it all on Puz. He didn't play as well as he has in the past.
Has the free safety's been a little bit of a disappointment the first 2 weeks?
He has not done much. I thought he dropped an interception. Not that it would have mattered. It was at the end of the game. I don't think he's been very good in the first 2 weeks in the open field tackling.
Whiffed last week.
Yes.
On a run.
Yep. I think he's just been okay, Pete.
Yeah, you're being kind, I think. I don't think he's been – and Cyprian struggled.
I don't think Cyprian's played very well. I don't think he played – his run fits were – not very good. I was going to say atrocious, but that might be a little strong.
That's what you meant.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, I do.
You gave me
a
quizzical look like I'm not sure what that means.
Well, if you think that, why don't you just say it?
I just want to make sure. So I don't think his run fits were very good at all, Pete.
And it looked like from the
– And that's what he's supposed to be the best at, by the way.
Right, right. House had a rough go of it.
House, no energy – I think it was Fred. Was it Fred Taylor on the post game said he thought he loafed a couple plays? I heard Freddie said something about loafing. I don't want to put words in his mouth. You did the show with him.
Yeah, off the top of my head,
okay,
I
then
remember.
Erase that.
Yeah.
Strike that from the show, Joe. I thought someone said that.